Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell and Brad Pollock. You can call us on any legal subject. You know we're injury attorneys, but this show is for you. 303-713-8255. 303-713-8255. We'll be glad to handle your questions. We try to cover a different subject each week, and we try to answer your questions and solve your problems. If we can't do it on the air, we get back to you during the week. Sometimes we can't immediately get back to you, but we get back to you and we try to help you solve your problems for free. If we refer you to an outside attorney in a field we don't have an expertise in, we don't get paid for that. That's free. This is a free service. 303-713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We have a lot of information on our website about the trucking accident that happened in Denver, about the ins and outs of it. And today at from 10 to 11, and on our Champions of the People Injury Show on KOA 850 AM, we're covering the ins and outs of brake failure. And we're not going to cover it here, but you need to listen to that show. You know, if you have brake failure, what does that mean? Brake failure. And so you're going to want to listen to our Champions of the People injury show today, 10 to 11, 850 KOA. So you can call us at 303-713-8255. We're going to talk a little bit about these scooters in downtown Denver. Very, very important area. You see all these scooters going on the sidewalks. You see them in bike lanes. You see them on roadways. It is a very unbelievable, complicated area when it doesn't seem like it should be. It seems like it should be simple. And it's not simple, and we're going to try to break down the components today. Right now, joining us on KHOW is Yefim. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Thank you that you take my phone.
Sure.
On the authorities, I stay go from parking lot and wait for traffic. Another car hit my car from the rear. The driver, other car, opened the claim in his insurance, and I had injury. The adjuster from other insurance told me that for all treatment, what I will have, send, open the claim in my insurance and send to my insurance, not to them, that it's a rule of Colorado.
So you're having a claim against your own insurance?
I not open in my insurance. It's open the claim in the other insurance. And they already give me statement of how to fix my car. And also tell me that I have to go to for my injury treatment.
But it's one more time. What happened in the basic accident? Yefim? What happened?
They impact my car from the rear. And the other driver agrees that it is full and he opened claim of his insurance, and his insurance tell me that they will take care, but for treatment of my medical bills, send to my insurance, not to them, that it's rules of Colorado.
Okay, you were rear-ended, and they were right, and you were right in opening a claim against the negligent or the at-fault party, so there's no problem there. I'm not certain why they're now telling you have to go through your own insurance.
I spoke with adjuster from other company, and he told me that you have to open a claim of your insurance, send bill for treatment to your insurance, and after will be done, all money will pay you your insurance. We will send personal to you for treatment and for suffering.
No, that wouldn't be correct. Now, the only reason he might have told you that is if you have what's called MedPay, and MedPay could be up to between 5,000 and above that would be on your policy.
I have MedPay in my insurance.
Is it $5,000?
$10,000.
$10,000. Very good. You got a higher amount. I applaud you for that. Thank you for getting that. But even then, you shouldn't be. What happens is the at fault party's insurance company, the people who hit you, their insurance company, they're not going to pay you as you go. They're going to pay you a lump sum at the end of the case, and in the interim, I'm sorry.
It's what he told me.
Right. And in the interim, what he's telling you is to send that money or those bills either to your MedPay or send them to your health insurance so that you can get your bills paid as you go and preserve your credit rating and not have problems with people turning over to collection or hounding you. So the adjuster is correct in telling you you need to find alternate means or methods by which to get your bills paid in the interim. But eventually they will be responsible. Now, you may need some help in some of this, and I think we need to talk to you about how you're doing it. How badly were you hurt? Are you hurt pretty bad, or what's going on?
It's hurt my neck and my head and some lower back.
Okay, and are you missing work because of this?
I'm retired.
Okay.
When did this accident happen?
April 20th this year.
Okay, have you been to the doctor or any healthcare provider?
I'm already go to chiropractor.
Okay.
He told me you have to start the treatment immediately.
All right, and so you've been going to the chiropractor on a regular basis as a result of the injury?
Yes.
All right, has your car gotten fixed?
What you say?
Did your car get repaired?
No, not yet. They only give me a statement, estimate, and tell me that they will send me a check.
Can you still drive your car?
Yes.
All right, so you're still able to get around. Did you take your car to a collision center or somewhere to get it estimated as far as the damage?
Yes.
Is it quite a bit of damage?
It's about $2,900.
Yeah, that's a significant amount of money. So we'd want to talk to you about that because you're going to need to get a loaner car in the meantime while yours is getting repaired. There's no reason you shouldn't be getting that repaired. And as for your chiropractor, you should be talking to the chiropractor. Have you had any kind of x-rays or MRIs done?
Not yet.
Okay. And if you're talking about headaches and head injury, also neck and head injuries, then those are the type of things that you have to pay attention to those fairly soon after the crash to make sure you're getting the proper care. So what I would say is the adjuster is telling you the correct stuff, but did the adjuster send you some papers to fill out and send back?
Repeat, please.
Did the insurance adjuster send you papers to fill out?
Yes.
And send back to him?
They told me that they will send me the paper, and also I asked him, because it's almost new, for diminished value also.
Right. Don't fill out those papers.
You didn't fill them out. Did you yef them yet? Did you fill out the paperwork yet?
No, I am not received this.
Okay, good. Don't fill them out when you get them. As a matter of fact, we're gonna go to break, but I wanna talk to you off the air this week about what needs to be done. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Ref. Yeah, we're gonna put you on hold. If you give Kevin your phone number and your information, we will contact you and help you through this. Okay.
Okay.
And don't you fill out anything in the meantime.
My question: I have to call my insurance maybe today and open the claim.
We're going to help you do
no,
that.
No, don't do that until we talk to you. You're still okay, not a problem. But yes, you're going to have to call your insurance, but not till we talk to you.
We're going to help you on Monday, get it all filled out, and get everything open for you. All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go away. Give Kevin your information, and thank you much for the call. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We're here every week for you. Don't forget about our Champions of the People Injury Show today from 10 to 11 every Saturday, 10 to 11, the 1 hour. Show today we're talking about brake failure on big rigs. Is brake failure just brake failure? What does it mean? What are the components? Who are the parties? You mean there's different parties with brake failure? Could be. What do you do to dissect this legally? That's today, the Champions of the People Injury Show. We'll be right back. You can't see. All right, here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Grab your legal coffee, your legal bagel. It's time to rock and roll. The Bell and Pollock Radio Show, our legal show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We formed our law firm in 1984 with a vision of helping injured victims and their families. But this show is for you on any legal subject. 303-713-8255, 713-8255. Joining us live right now is Robert from Broomfield. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I have a question for you.
All right.
I was injured a few years ago on the federal government. So they paid me, you know, over, they drag it out over the years. And then I went to work someplace else 10 years later, and I re-injured it. Well, now the insurance company wants to kind of close on that. Can you collect anything on a second thing or not? Is it, it's a waste of time.
Okay, so but now that your second job, is it a government job or private?
State.
Sorry?
No, it's a state work comp.
State work comp. Okay, so the answer is yes, you can. When was the second incident?
2010.
2010.
Okay, so that's a bigger problem. That's a time limit problem, okay?
Okay, but they've been paying for rhizotomies for the last 9 years. I get a rhizotomy once a year, and it burns the nerves and does away with the pain for about 6 or 7, 8 months.
Oh, okay, has that been covered by the work comp?
Yes.
Of course, yeah. You're fine.
You're still okay.
But what's...
They want to do a IME, and, you know, so when you go there... You better watch what you sign, right?
Have you gone to the doctor, the so-called IME yet?
No. That's next week.
Okay, you went on for 9 years and they never got you to an IME?
Well, they did one about 5 years ago and the judge was on my side and said, "No, let him keep doing the rhizotomies cuz you know it does away with a lot of the painkillers and stuff like that," and they just kind of drug it along like that.
Well, how many rhizotomies have you had, ballpark?
9.
And that's incredible. You're doing a great job, Robert. I mean, rhizotomies, you're right on the medical literature. The medical literature says that it gives you relief between 6 months and a year and a half.
Yes, and the thing I like about you don't have to take all those pain pillers and Percocet and all that and screw you all up.
Right, but and so, you know, you're right in the medical literature because when you go 6 months, a year and a half, we always figure in the middle 1 year it's good for, you know, could be shorter or longer. So you've had them, it's working, the judge agreed with you. I'll bet the argument against you was that you can't keep doing them because they're not reasonable and necessary, something like that.
Yeah.
Why, okay, you have a claim opened, obviously.
Yeah.
And you said they want you to go to an IME next week. Has that gone before the judge?
No, not yet.
Okay, have you contested it or said you don't want to do one?
No, attorney says they are allowed to do that whenever they want.
Well, they can. They can ask for one.
You can refuse it?
You might be able to. What's the terms or conditions or reasons why they want to take one now?
They
want to close the case.
Okay, have they made any kind of statement as to whether or not they think you're a permanent total or any kind of a rating at all? Have they given you a rating?
No.
Okay.
All right, so yes, the answer is you can do it. You're still doing it. The claim is still open, incredibly, years later. Don't just assume you can't go or shouldn't go or no, you don't need to go. No, you got to assume you got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't just not show up. That's very bad for a work comp claim. But do you have an attorney, Robert?
Yeah, kind of, but she don't do anything. I think in the last 9 years, I've talked to her or emailed her like 3 times.
3 times?
Yeah.
And you're not getting any advice on what to do at the IME?
No.
And it's in work comp, it's called a DIME, a DIME. That's the lingo, Division Independent Medical Examination. But as we all know, there's nothing independent about these examinations, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. So we can help you, but you're going to need some specific input as to what to do. Is next week, right?
Yes.
Thursday?
Wednesday.
Okay, we got to talk to you off the air on Monday. Is that okay that we call you?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put you on hold and get your number.
Okay.
But, you know, it sounds like you've had the claim open and that nobody's got moved to do anything about paying you any additional money for what you're going through.
I'm not quite sure. You might have set a world record for Colorado for the living length of a workers' comp claim, but if still active,
yeah.
They're doing a dime. I think you're okay, but you're going to need some specific input, and you're going to need a legal game plan as to what to do.
You're right.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on hold, Robert. Give Kevin your information. We will contact you, okay? Well, wait a minute. Before you do, are you going to be available Monday? Because this is a time essential situation.
Monday, yes, any anytime.
All right, what's the other question, please?
The TV show said the guy that hit all those the cars up there and tore them up.
Right.
They said that some group in town collected $84,000 to get him out. Do you know if this is true or they ever did that?
Well, I think it's a GoFundMe, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard of GoFundMe. And actually, I heard it was over $100,000 now.
They collected over $100,000?
To get him out. That's what I've heard. It's over $100,000 now.
So he ought to be out then, huh?
Well, I think it was set at $400,000.
Yeah, the bond was set at $400,000. So
a million. He had to give 10% of it, and it was $100,000.
Well, here's what happens on those bonds. If they... To get a 10%, they usually have to go get a bondsman to do that, and then they have to have collateral that would be equivalent to it. So, you know, and I'm not so sure this guy has the collateral to get him out. It doesn't sound like his company that he works for has done anything to get him out. So they've kind of left him there from what I've seen right now, you know, and there's a lot that breaks every day on that thing, I think. But the company hasn't done much to get him out, but there is a group that has been trying to get him out. You know, there are people, and until we get all the facts, there are people who believe that he didn't do anything wrong. He had a brake failure, and he did the best he could.
Yeah, but then the TV showed him doing 80 mile an hour in the left lane passing everybody.
Right, exactly. I mean, there was a whole question, and as a matter of fact, that's what we cover in our Champions of the People Injury Show today at 10 o'clock on KOA. But yeah, there's questions about choices along the way. But when you talk about brake failure, I mean, Brad and I did a whole show today, and a large part of it's on brake failure. You know, what is brake failure, right?
Yeah.
And we're not going to do the whole show right here, but I mean, is it brake fade? Is it friction fade? Is it mechanical fade? Is it fluid fade? And you get down to the components of the brakes, who's responsible? Because this trucking company had reportedly five trucks, five drivers, a pretty small trucking company. Then you get into these insurance questions. This is a horrible incident.
Yeah.
Horrible. Tragedy. But if there's no insurance, then you got to get into the Federal Motor Carrier rules, like where is the MCS 90, MCS-90, we call it the MCS 90 endorsement. Where's the insurance? What's going to happen, and what was the cause of the brake failure? Meaning, I mean, was it any of these fades that I just talked about? Were there pre-trip inspections? Were there post-trip inspections? Who was responsible? You can't, under the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Rules, you can't just have anybody inspect the brakes. Were there records? When you get into a case like this, you've got insurance questions, death questions, recovery of damages questions. And Robert, you really got me cooking here this morning, buddy.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No problem.
You hit a spot that's got Gary kind of excited.
They could have used that $100,000 to help the homeless or some of the elderly that don't have enough money to eat. Or
how about the wrongful deaths and the injured victims? How about that?
Yeah.
Right.
I see, Robert, one of the concerns is that by law, they only have to carry $750,000 of coverage. Now, maybe they are carrying $10-15 million. That will be there to help all those injured people. But the problem right now is we don't even know how much insurance is available to take care of all the injured people.
Well, $750,000 don't go very far this day.
Well, it doesn't go very far, but if you listen to our show today, we're talking about all this, the pre-trip inspection. What does brake failure really mean? What does brake failure really mean in the law? And what are the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Rules? All these questions.
When you start talking about that kind of money, think of the people who've died and anybody who is dependent on them. Think of the grief, the salation.
Yeah.
The problems for recovery are going to be huge in that case. And then you've got to find who's at fault. And we talk a lot about that, about what happens and who's at fault and what could have been done. It's pretty devastating, and it's going to be a very complicated suit. Anybody who got hurt in that crash, and obviously the people who were killed, that everybody's got to get lawyers. They've got to get themselves good, competent plaintiff's lawyers that are going to be able to help them, because this is going to be a big deal.
Think about this, Robert. Think about this in the old days, and still sometimes in the new days. You got this truck. When you get into the case, you find out the tractor is separate than the trailer. The tractor is owned by a company in Nebraska. I'm just giving an example.
Uh-huh.
But it's leased to a company in the Caribbean. The trailer is owned by a company in Mexico, and it's leased to a company in California. And then who does the driver work for?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are some of the potential permutations. I just made those locations up as an example. But those are some of the potential permutations here. But then we cover that on our show today at 10 o'clock. Hey, Robert, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get your information, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate your call. Give Kevin your phone number. All right, you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our Champions of the People Injury Show today, 10 to 11. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. Why? Because we are your champions of the people. We'll be right back. Left me here stranded with Bill Shio. All right, here we go. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, welcome to all our listeners. KRDO, Colorado Springs, KEZZ 94.1 FM, Steamboat Springs, KRAI, Craig, and right here in Denver, 630 KHOW. Joining us live on KHOW is Eric from Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's cooking over there?
Guys, we got one more week of the specials we talked about last week. That breakfast special is going to be that one egg plate with that pork chop on there. Get those golden brown hash browns right on top of that. Get that egg cooked to the temperature of your choice. That always comes with that famous pancake toaster tortilla option right there. Those are buttermilk pancakes. You can't go wrong with those, but any of those options will be great. That is the breakfast special for the rest of the week, guys. And that lunch special we talked about is that grilled croissant sandwich. It's a ham sandwich. We're going to grill up a French croissant, put some cream cheese on there, the deli ham, fresh, ripe sliced tomatoes on right there, put some waffle cut fries or our homemade chips on the side. Those are going to be the specials for the rest of the week. We do change those out every Saturday, and we run them for a couple of weeks. So you can come in and request something. If you didn't get it, you missed it last time, or if something comes up new, every couple of weeks there's something to check out. There's also something to check out every week, every Monday and Friday. From 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., we do an early bird special. That is a two-egg plate that comes with those hash browns. You get your choice of ham, bacon, or sausage on that. Again, you get that toast tortilla or pancake option, as always. That goes with the 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. early bird special. Tons of things, the guys, to check out. The umbrellas are up. Weatherman says that things look great for the weekend, so we're ready to go. We got mimosas, we got Bloody Marys, we got umbrellas, we got all kinds of scratch-made products on that menu, too. So plenty of reasons to come on down and check us out.
Eric.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, how's the construction? Is everything good over the front? Everything nice now?
You know, it is getting nicer, yes. They've been really, really good with us. The parking lot has been freed up a lot. A lot of the big equipment is out of the way. It does look, there is some scaffolding up in front of some of the places, so we are open. Don't think that we're not open. If you don't see a light on, you don't see a sign, might be something blocking in the way, but the Glendale Shopping Center is open and ready for business. Things are looking great. It's coming along really, really smoothly, so there's plenty of places to park. Shouldn't be a hassle at all, absolutely. Thank you for asking me about that.
Okay, and second of all, is there my own special place out on the back deck so I can have a sit on the back deck? Today's perfect, Eric.
There's a chair with your name on it, absolutely, and you're under an umbrella, so you don't have to worry about getting sunburned or anything like that. You better believe it.
Okay, buddy. I'm coming down for the pancakes.
Coming down, absolutely, guys.
Where are you located?
Guys, that's going to be at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is in the Glendale Shopping Center. That is under construction, but it is available and it is open, so come on down. I guarantee you'll love it every by the way.
All right, Eric. Thanks a lot. Hasta la vista. All right. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell. Brad Pollock, we're here for you, 303-713-8255. Right now I'm going to do something I shouldn't do. My partner's going to kill me. He can't control me, though. I don't know what he's going to do. He's getting mad at me right now. But I want to tell you that Brad was in a two-week jury trial in Durango. He's already giving me the face. But he can't stop me. I own 50% of the firm. So he was in a jury trial in Durango, very complicated trial. Incredible justice for the clients. Incredible verdict just came in. So I want to congratulate him. And now I'm going to run for my life.
Yeah, we don't talk about
it. No. Now I'm going to talk to Gabe from Lakewood. Good morning, Gabe.
Hey, good morning. I had a comment about you guys talking about his bond.
I
live in Jeffco County.
Yeah.
Jeff couldn't play that 20%. It's cash bond.
Okay. And you know, we're going into the areas that obviously we don't deal a lot with because it's criminal side in the bond. Did you actually see, Gabe, that they said it's not a surety bond, that they can't do a surety bond?
Well, I just know that Jeff Cook, because one of my family members got in trouble, and there's no 10%, 20%, it's cash.
Oh, no. Get this. Here's what happens. When they do bonds, they can do cash, surety, or property bonds. And if they do a cash and it's cash bond, then somebody's got to come in with a cash bond. You're right. Yeah, and if it's surety bond, what happens if the judge will allow surety bond? And I don't know if this was included. Then what happens? You go to a surety and you go to somewhere, and you'll have to pay them, depending on the size of the bond, anywhere from, I think it's 10 or even maybe a little lower, up to 15% of the amount of the bond that they keep. And it's right. A bail bondsman, and then the bail bondsman goes down and puts their name down, and they don't really put up the bond; they become a surety. That says if the guy doesn't show up, they'll either go down like bounty hunters and get him, or else they'll end up having to pay the bond, but they don't have to put it up front.
Yeah. My other question was, they're talking about going after the company. Why don't they go after the guy he was hauling for to the company? I think there's much to blame for this.
Why don't they go after what? I didn't understand your question.
The company he was hauling lumber for, they should go after that company too.
Well,
as much as blame,
and that's going to depend on who's at fault, who loaded that the trailer. Are you familiar with tractor trailers? You know what we're talking about.
Right, I drive.
Okay,
I know you drive for Coors. They don't want junk. Your truck's older than 6 years. You can't haul their product.
Yeah,
and there's some other companies I haul dirt for. They want you to run legal, and they don't want to.
Yeah, and Gabe, you just brought up a great question, because there are federal motor carrier safety rules and cases dealing with the load, who's responsible for the load, how did the load affect the incident, number one. Number two, the other thing is vetting. You're right. What's the driving record of this person? Did they put the wrong person in there? He was 23 years old. Was he experienced? All those questions. You're right on the money.
But when you're Gabe? Talking about why don't they go after the people who loaded the trailer or the people who supplied the product that was being hauled in the trailer, you're right on the mark there too. There's going to be some questions about whether or not it was overloaded. Have you heard anything as to whether or not they think that trailer was overloaded?
No, I don't know anything about it. I just know it's plain stupid what he did. That's an inexperienced driver, just a kid.
Well, and that's the question too. Did they have an experienced driver? You know, my wife years ago, worked for a trucking company in Louisiana, and she said that one of the things that was always the deal with the truck drivers down in Louisiana is they never wanted to come drive the Rockies, because they weren't used to driving the Rockies, and it was a very hard situation, and to drive these mountain terrains was very tough.
I've been driving 29 years, and I don't even like going up there, and I hate it. I try to avoid it. I go down to Canyon.
Yeah.
I go to that pit six up there. I go down to Canyon.
Yeah.
Well, but Gabe, I got a question for you. So coming out of Eisenhower Tunnel, and we had a trucker call us last week and the week before. I want your take on this. Coming out of Eisenhower Tunnel, so what's the best thing a trucker can do, and what's the biggest mistake a trucker can make? Just coming out of the tunnel and getting ready to go down.
Well, forget everybody else. You know, he's looking in the mirror to see another truck, you know, pushing them. Just norm. Just keep that truck in low gear and just take your time coming down. Just, you know, mind your own biz, you know.
And monitor the speed?
Out there, other drivers out there that think they're Rambo, but they're idiots, you know. So.
And we don't know what this guy was all about. And so that's a big question.
Some great points, Gabe. You know, I tell you, I did a trucking case one time, and I checked on Facebook on the driver, and he had a picture of his truck, big truck, the front of it, and he said something like, I can't remember exactly, something like, I'm 14 feet tall, and I don't do fender benders. Really?
I got to go on at work right now. I'm getting ready to back up.
Okay.
Job.
All right.
Okay, you guys have a good weekend.
Have a good one, buddy.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you, 303-713-8255. We're going to talk to Frank from Denver. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, thank you guys so much for your show, the freedom of expression and the education that you guys add to the thing, the legal education. I would call you guys the voice of passion and reason. Gary, you're the passion. Brad, you're the reason over there.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
I look at an accident like this, and you guys are getting into the nitty-gritty detail, but I look at it as an opportunity. Unfortunate opportunity with the loss of life and tragedy. But you know what I do? I look at the airline model. Do you know why there's so many millions of miles flown by airlines with no accidents? The reason is because they analyze every accident. They track back what caused this, a little broken fan belt, a cable, or whatever. And I look at the opportunity for the CDOT, Colorado Department of Transportation, to look at this and say, what else could we do to help all the thousands of trucks that are coming down that hill every day? I think several things. First, I would have a mountain classification on your driver's license that says you have taken a course or taken some training in how to drive these mountains. Second, I drove that strip where he came down. There's one runaway truck ramp. There's two other big areas that can be made into runaway truck ramps below that. One about halfway down from the other truck ramp, and the other one is at the top of the hill where that air sock is for the Flight for Life, and there's spaces to pull off there. Those could all be made into runaway truck ramps. So you don't have one, you'd have three on that last downhill approach. And the third thing would be changing some of the language on the signs. If we've got people coming through the state that can't read American, you know, then they either need to be written in other languages that are frequent travelers or something. So they say, please ditch, please take this truck ramp instead of doing what the poor kid did.
Was he still on the 6% grade where that was happening?
No, he was leveled off, but the truck had such momentum, and whether his brakes had faded or failed, he was already going at a high rate of speed, trying to dodge in and out, apparently by the videos, and doing what he could to avoid it. But the better thing would have been, obviously, to take to the ditch or a second or third runaway truck ramp to stop the whole thing on the hill before it happened, and he had leveled off. The accident took place on level ground way down at Denver, west. So that's the sad thing. And it was probably only because there was an accident slowing traffic, and he ran into it. But he should have not even gotten that far. He should have had a place to pull off and get off the road before that.
Well, Frank, I want to ask you a question. Is there a place, in your opinion, your take, to quote, ditch it? Because some truckers called us and said, you ditched the truck. You're gonna take one for the team. That means you're not going to injure anybody. But, if you're on a level or flatter ground, not a cliff going over, isn't that a choice?
Well, it is, but there are other opportunities. I suppose he could have gone to the median, the truck and a few light poles would be sacrificed, but he would have gotten out of the main floor of traffic. But it's still a downhill grade. So the better thing would be to have two or three runaway truck ramps there with adequate size that anybody, well-marked in the language of the drivers, so they understand what it is. Plus this education, if you're going to drive the mountains, you got to have mountain certification. Our legislators are fond of making rules that do everything else, why don't we do that? But it's back to the airplane model of analyzing each accident. What could we do to prevent this type of accident in the future?
Wow, your comments are incredible.
I agree with you so much on the additional runway ramps. They just need them. Absolutely. Absolutely. Coming out around that dead man's curve and down that 6% grade, like you said, even if you level off, it's hard to get your speed reduced.
Very good points. Very articulate. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You're great, man. Thank you.
The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Don't forget about the show that follows our show, the Consumer Real Estate Show. Barry and Larry, Consumer Real Estate Show. If you've got a question on real estate, they're the ones to go to. There's all kinds of complications in real estate. There's inspections, right? Inspection objections, right? There's appraisals, appraisal deadlines, all kinds of deadlines in the contract, a newly revised contract. Barry and Larry can answer your questions, solve your problems. Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back. All right, fasten your seatbelt. What's on your mind today, right? 303-713-8255. Listen to our Champions of the People injury show today from 10 to 11 on 850 KOA. Today we're talking about brake failure. What is brake failure? How do you hold people responsible for this tragic, this horrible thing that happened in Denver with this truck accident? And if the brakes failed, what about that? We just say, well, it's brake failure? Oh, it's brake failure. What about friction fade? Who manufactured the parts? What about brake fade? What about mechanical fade? What about the operator error? What about the vetting of the driver? What about the insurance? What about the MCS 90 endorsement? All that and more today on the Champions of the People Injury Show, 10 to 11, 850 KOA. Join us live on our show right now is Nora from Colorado Springs. Good morning, Nora.
Good morning, guys. I love your show. I listen to it every weekend.
Thank you.
Well, thank
I'm
you.
I'm also a truck driver.
Oh, all right, Nora.
You're on the road.
Working.
What can
I
we do for you?
I'm the Dairy Queen. I had a comment, or actually a question. Isn't it required by federal regulations, FMCSA, that in order to acquire a CDL, you have to be able to read and write English?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That's right. Right in the federal.
Not be able to read the sign for the runaway ramp. He had options. I'm sorry. You turn that key, you're responsible.
Well, you know,
right.
And that is something, you know, and when they talk about it, yes, he's required to be able to read the signs. Unless he wasn't properly licensed, unless he wasn't properly vetted, and then that'd be a different question.
Right. And I agree with the previous caller. There does need to be more runaway truck ramps, but still, he had options. And being 23, he's inexperienced, and yet they want to rate to lower the age for CDL to 18. I don't think so.
Wow. Yeah, that's an incredible point. But yes, I mean there's a requirement under the Federal Motor Rules to be, read and speak English. But you know, I'll tell you, I had a big bus overturn accident years ago, and I told the lawyer I want to take your client's deposition, and he said you're going to have to get an interpreter.
That's unbelievable.
And I'm talking about yeah. And why do I need an interpreter when the Federal Motor Rules say you got to speak and read English? And but I had to have an interpreter. Period.
How many years?
I've traveled those mountains many, many times. I love driving in the mountains. And I know that if you pick a gear, the right one for the grade that you're on, leave it alone, the truck will do it for you.
Well, looking back.
No, wait a minute. What did you just say?
The truck will do it for you.
You pick the gear that is appropriate for the mountain grade that you're on.
Right.
And you have your Jake brake, your engine brake. The truck will do it for you. Leave it alone. You don't. If you know what you're doing, you don't have to go through all this brake issue.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question. All these truckers call us. I'm going to ask you the same question. When you come out of Eisenhower Tunnel, heading for Big Denver, beautiful Denver, you know, what should you do, and what's the biggest mistake truckers make?
Well, it gives you the speed at which you're supposed to be at, and myself, I always went a little lower than that. It doesn't matter what anyone else around you is doing. God gave us free will; they can go around.
Yep. No, you. Okay.
But speed is your answer, right? Speed.
Yes, speed is the answer. If you do not set yourself at the right speed, you're going to be in trouble.
So you put the truck in the proper gear to be able to brake itself is what you're saying.
Correct.
Essentially. So you're putting less stress on the brakes also at that point.
That's what it's for. That's what that engine brake is for.
Right. So you've got yourself in a situation where you're conserving those brakes because you can burn out your brakes as you're going down there if you're not careful.
Correct.
And
yep. Easy. Quickly.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you're left with nothing. See, what I find interesting, that they did say this guy was going 80 miles an hour or whatever in the other lane and going by people. But I'm wondering, when did he lose his brakes? So, you know,
That gives me goosebumps because that didn't just happen out of the blue.
Right.
You know, he knew.
Right. So exactly what happened and how did he lose his brakes and when did he lose it? And then they come to the same thing. Should he have ditched his truck? Because you're right. There aren't sufficient runaway ramps there.
No, but there are other options.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he should have never been in that position in the first place.
So you've driven that stretch quite a bit too.
Oh, yes. I love driving it. My husband, when I was learning, he made me drive at night so I wouldn't be distracted by all the pretty, which was brilliant.
now he gets to drive during the day, and so you can watch, and you drive at night. Right?
What do you think? What do you think about the previous caller's suggestion that there be a mountain endorsement?
Oh, there is.
That's a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Because it does take a different kind of skill. You know, it's scary. It can be very scary if you're not careful and if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It is. It's very difficult. It's not the same technique and the same talent to drive where it's flat versus drive the mountains, period.
But there's these mountains. There's the Tennessee mountains. There's California mountains. You know, I think that it is a great suggestion.
That sounds great.
All right, Nora, we thank you very much for your call.
I have a question.
Oh, okay, sure. I'm so sorry. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Different subject. I have a friend who got involved with a married woman. He kind of became her rescuer. They were not in a good situation. And they were together about 3 years and have a one-year-old son. But all of a sudden, she starts talking to her husband again and decides to go back to him. And now my friend, he's not on the birth certificate for the baby. And she's telling, she's got all the control. And is telling him that she doesn't want him to come and see the baby or to leave the baby with him so that he can visit. And he has very little money. He doesn't know what to do.
All right, Nora, we got a wall against time here. We're going to have to go, but we're going to put you on hold, get your information. And all of you callers that are holding, if you give Kevin your information, we'll be glad to speak to you. And we will help your friend, okay?
Yeah, we're going to help.
All right, Nora, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information.
Thank you.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Today, our Champions of the People Injury Show at 10 o'clock on 850 AM KOA. We're talking about brake failure. Sounds simple. It's not. Talking about liability of this truck accident. It's not simple. MCS 90 endorsements, insurance coverages, and more. Bell and Pollock, because we are your Champions of the People.